Welcome to Digest Discussions, where every episode brings the pages of knowledge to life. Dive deep with us into the heart of academic excellence, where the latest blog posts from Doctoral Digest aren't just read, they're explored, questioned, and expanded. In this podcast, we peel back the layers of complex topics, offering doctoral candidates and scholarly enthusiasts a seat at our roundtable of innovation, where we guide new doctoral students and dissertation warriors through the often confusing world of academics.
Good morning, scholars and lifelong learners. Today, we're diving into a topic that's absolutely essential for anyone navigating the challenging waters of academia: mental resilience. Our latest Doctoral Digest article explores 10 proven strategies for building this critical skill, and I can't wait to unpack it with you.
Absolutely. I think this topic resonates deeply with so many of us who've walked the academic path. Before we dive in, let's frame this conversation properly. Mental resilience isn't just a buzzword. It's the psychological foundation that determines whether students merely survive their academic journey or truly thrive through it.
That's such an important distinction. The article defines mental resilience as the ability to adapt and bounce back from adversity, which research consistently correlates with higher grades, better attendance, and lower dropout rates. What strikes me is that resilience isn't some innate quality you either have or don't. It's a skill that can be developed over time,
which is incredibly empowering. It means anyone can enhance their academic performance by deliberately practicing specific resilience-building strategies. The article outlines 10 approaches, but I'd love to start with what I consider the foundation: cultivating a growth mindset.
Carol Dweck's work on growth mindset has revolutionized how we approach learning and challenges. When students believe their abilities can be developed through dedication and hard work, rather than viewing intelligence as fixed, it transforms how they approach obstacles. They see challenges as opportunities rather than threats.
Exactly. The article suggests practical ways to develop this mindset: embracing challenges as growth opportunities, viewing failures as temporary setbacks, focusing on the learning process rather than just outcomes, celebrating small wins, and actively seeking feedback. What's been your experience with growth mindset in academic settings?
I've seen remarkable transformations when students make this shift. One doctoral candidate I mentored was ready to abandon her dissertation after receiving harsh feedback from her committee. But when we reframed that criticism as valuable data for improvement rather than a judgment on her capabilities, everything changed. She not only completed her dissertation, but produced work that exceeded her own expectations.
That's a perfect example of resilience in action. Another strategy from the article that complements growth mindset is mindfulness and meditation. The research on how these practices enhance focus, reduce stress, and improve emotional regulation is substantial
and increasingly mainstream within academia. What I appreciate about the article's approach is how it offers simple, accessible entry points: deep breathing exercises, body scan meditation, and mindful walking. These don't require special equipment or extensive training, just a commitment to present moment awareness,
which makes them perfect for busy students. Speaking of support systems, the article emphasizes the importance of developing a robust support network. I find many doctoral students, particularly those working remotely, underestimate how isolation can undermine resilience.
Absolutely. Academic work can be inherently isolating, especially at the dissertation stage. The article recommends building connections with people who share your values and goals, joining student organizations, maintaining regular communication with your network, and utilizing campus resources like counseling services and academic advisors.
I'd add that the quality of those connections matters as much as the quantity. A single mentor who truly believes in you can be transformative. The article also discusses setting realistic goals and celebrating small victories, something I think many high-achieving students struggle with.
That's such an important point. The SMART framework mentioned in the article, specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound goals, provides an excellent structure. Breaking larger projects into manageable chunks makes seemingly insurmountable tasks feel doable.
And the celebration part is crucial. Many doctoral students dismiss small accomplishments as just doing what's expected. But acknowledging progress, however incremental, fuels motivation. This connects beautifully to another strategy from the article: self-care and maintaining a healthy lifestyle.
Oh, this is where I think many academics fall short. The culture often glorifies overwork and sleep deprivation as badges of honour, but the article makes a compelling case that adequate sleep, nutrition, and physical activity aren't luxuries. They're necessities for optimal cognitive performance and emotional regulation.
The research is clear that chronic sleep deprivation impairs critical thinking, memory consolidation, and emotional regulation, the very skills academics need most. I appreciate how the article frames self-care, not as self-indulgence, but as strategic investment in cognitive capacity.
Exactly. Time management is another area the article addresses that directly impacts resilience. Poor time management creates unnecessary stress that drains mental resources.
The Pomodoro technique mentioned in the article, working in focused intervals followed by short breaks, has been revolutionary for many of my students. It acknowledges our brain's natural rhythm of attention and fatigue. What other time management strategies have you found effective?
Breaking large projects into small concrete tasks with specific deadlines works wonders. It prevents the paralysis that often comes with overwhelming projects. Also, identifying and eliminating time wasters, those activities that consume time without producing value. For many students, that means setting boundaries around social media and email checking.
That brings us to another strategy I found particularly powerful: embracing failure as a learning opportunity. Academia can foster perfectionism, making any setback feel catastrophic rather than instructive.
The article's examples of successful people who face significant failures, Einstein, Rowling, Edison, Winfrey, Jobs, offer powerful reminders that setbacks often precede breakthroughs. It's not about avoiding failure, but developing the resilience to learn from it and persist.
I'm reminded of research showing that professors who share their own failure CVs, lists of rejected papers, denied grants, and unsuccessful job applications, help students develop more realistic expectations and greater resilience.
That vulnerability creates such powerful teaching moments. The article also addresses something I consider equally important: positive self-talk and affirmations. Our internal dialogue shapes our experience of challenges.
The examples provided, "I am capable of overcoming challenges, my efforts will lead to success, I embrace learning opportunities," help reframe difficulties as temporary and manageable rather than permanent and defining. This cognitive reframing is backed by substantial psychological research.
And it's a skill that improves with deliberate practice. Making these affirmations part of daily routines can literally rewire neural pathways over time. Another crucial strategy is seeking help when needed, something many high-achieving students resist.
That reluctance often stems from equating help-seeking with weakness, when it actually demonstrates self-awareness and resourcefulness. The article emphasizes that utilizing counseling services, tutoring programs, and workshops on stress management isn't admitting defeat. It's strategically accessing resources.
This connects to the final strategy, cultivating resilience through challenges. I love the example of Amanda, the first-generation college student who struggled with imposter syndrome but persevered by seeking support and reframing negative thoughts.
Her story illustrates how these strategies work together synergistically. She didn't just employ one technique in isolation, but combined multiple approaches: seeking support, focusing on strengths, and cognitive reframing to build her resilience muscle.
That's such an important takeaway. Resilience isn't developed through a single intervention, but through consistent practice of multiple complementary strategies. What impresses me about this article is how it balances research-based insights with practical, actionable advice.
Absolutely. If you had to recommend just one or two strategies for students to start with, which would you prioritize?
That's challenging because they work so synergistically. But I'd say growth mindset forms the foundation. When students truly believe their abilities can be developed through effort and learning, other resilience practices flow more naturally. I'd pair that with self-care as the physiological foundation that makes cognitive resilience possible. What about you?
I'd suggest developing a support network and practicing mindfulness. Isolation magnifies challenges, while connection provides perspective and emotional buffering. And mindfulness creates the pause between stimulus and response where resilience lives. But truthfully, the most important strategy is the one you'll actually practice consistently.
Well said. Is there anything important about mental resilience in academia that you feel the article didn't address?
I think it could have explored the systemic factors that undermine resilience, how institutional policies, biases, and academic culture can create unnecessary obstacles, particularly for students from underrepresented groups. Resilience shouldn't just be about adapting to broken systems, but also advocating for more supportive academic environments.
That's an excellent point. While individual strategies are crucial, institutions also bear responsibility for creating conditions where students can thrive. As we close our discussion, what's your key takeaway for listeners navigating their academic journeys?
Remember that struggling doesn't mean you're failing. It means you're growing. The challenges of academia aren't just obstacles to overcome, but opportunities to develop capacities that will serve you throughout your life. By intentionally practicing these resilience strategies, you're not just surviving your academic journey, you're developing an internal infrastructure of strength that will support you long after graduation.
Beautifully put. And I'd add, you're not alone in this journey. Every scholar, even the most accomplished, has faced moments of doubt, exhaustion, and setback. What distinguishes those who thrive isn't the absence of challenges, but the cultivation of resilience to meet those challenges with courage, creativity, and perseverance.
Thanks for joining us for this Digest discussion. We're the Academic Renegade Crew, reminding you that you are not alone in your doctoral journey. Join us for every episode as we break down the Doctoral Digest's most compelling content, bringing expert commentary, critical analysis, and a touch of scholarly camaraderie right to your ears. This isn't just another academic podcast, it's a community, an idea incubator, and your weekly dose of scholarly innovation all rolled into one.
Tune in to Digest Discussions and transform the way you engage with academic literature. Let's start the conversation today.